Hello, Sagittarius, and welcome to your ultimate Mercury retrograde reading for 2015. The Mercury retrograde that is happening in Gemini between the 18th, 19th of May and the 11th of June. Gemini is your opposite sign in the whole sign house system. All of the sign Gemini counts for your seventh house and solar house system. It is the seventh house from your sun, and therefore, as the seventh house, the opposite house, opposite sign, it is about your one-on-one relationships. Now, these one-on-one relationships include all kinds of relationships. It doesn't really matter what they are. Where the relationship is a kind of a face-to-face relationship, something on level ground, where there's not a direct line of authority, that is a seventh house relationship. Typically, it represents partners and, in the old astrology books, interestingly enough, open enemies, not concealed enemies. Those are in the 12th house. It's a different house. So that's a bit of traditional astrology. I view it as the house of relationships, partnerships, and most significantly, the environment that you are in, of which relationships are a significant part of that environment. For some people, they represent the entire environment. Whether the quality of their relationships is good or not, and whatever else about their relationships, that's kind of the world in which we live. And this whole retrograde takes place in Gemini, which is suggesting that it is necessary to proceed with a great deal of consciousness in your personal relationships. It is not the time to proceed in any kind of an unconscious way. The thing is that those who tend to proceed in an unconscious way don't really necessarily think about this thing called being conscious or consciously being conscious or whatever that might be. And so, you know, is it possible to change that? I don't know, but I'm going to give you some information that I hope will be of assistance. One significant thing to remember is that Mercury retrograde only lasts about 3.5 weeks, tack about 2 weeks on either side. And we're talking about basically a 7-week process. But I think that the peak of this retrograde is going to come around the second week. It looks like between about May 25th and May 31st is the most intriguing, puzzling part of this, where most of what I say will, be the most relevant, particularly the cautionary parts. But I have to say, I'm feeling a bit protective of you looking at this chart, and not two things. One, wanting to make sure that you're not taken advantage of in some way. And second, wanting to remind you that it is necessary to remember how much of what you bring into relationships manifests in those relationships, and yet at the same time, it so often either doesn't seem so or it seems impossible that it's so, where it seems that people just are the way they are and they do what they do, and there's nothing that you can really do about the depth psychology that you might have going on, except the best thing you can do is to become conscious of this thing called projection. So let's start with some basic things first. Communication is often a bit tricky with Mercury retrograde, but especially so when it's in your seventh house, and especially when it's the ruler of your seventh house. That's a big piece of this, because your seventh house is Gemini, which is ruled by Mercury, and so we have Mercury powerfully placed in its domicile, in its home sign. So in this kind of routine, Mercury has an advantage because it is so strong in Gemini, and yet it's going to be retrograde, which puts it in a compromised position. So you may be dealing with someone who is inherently strong, but in some way feels compromised. And you need to kind of, like, I would say, keep the peace long enough to let this astrology blow through so that it doesn't, whatever situation that it represents, can basically be gradually unraveled and simplified rather than become more complex under the, you know, influence of its own gravity and momentum. So one thing you can do, and I think the most important thing that you can do, is listen as much as you can and say as little as possible. Now, the difficulty with that is that your ruling planet, Jupiter, is in your ninth house in Leo. You have a beneficent view of things. You want to accept and assume the best in people, assume the best intentions, and to a real extent, you may be projecting the best of who you are onto people because it seems as if you really want to keep things fair and honest and simple. And yet, there are circumstances that look like they are complex and potentially unfair and also not necessarily totally honest. Now, I'm cautious about saying this kind of thing, but it's right there. And I'm not saying that anyone has bad intentions, but what I am saying is that there is some form of self-deception maybe going on in your environment, not necessarily by you. You may not quite be aware of, I mean, no one's aware of anything, everything, but in any event, the key thing here that you can control is your own self-awareness. And what I see is a situation where you have certain emotional predispositions, a sensitivity, a presumption that people want the best, a presumption that there is actually fairness in the world. You are very unlikely to be the cynical type of person, and I don't think you're going through a cynical phase. If anything, I think that you are probably going through a phase where you are a bit more restrained, a bit more conscious, conservative, and not necessarily as freewheeling as you've been in other times of your life. That's a factor of Saturn in your sign. But nonetheless, you have faith in humanity, and it's as if there are situations that are arising that may test your faith in humanity. And I would suggest here that, again, the less you say, the better. The more you listen and the more you observe, the better. And what you will learn if you do is something about your own emotional predispositions to complexity in relationships and why it is that your relationships become complex in a certain way. And that certain way is where there seems to be a crossover of parental roles and relational roles, and where there seems to be a crossover of the past and the present. There's a kind of a mashup, and it's not clear what happened in the past and why it seems to be repeating itself somehow in the present. And there's a bit here that's mysterious, but look, the thing is that, you know, we humans carry a lot of who we are for very long periods of time. I think we carry a great many things from lifetime to lifetime. There are very significant predispositions that we have. And after you've read a few hundred astrology charts, you can see that people are not showing up with the same predispositions. People are coming in with very different predispositions. We all have them. And yours tends to get you involved in situations where it's kind of like you don't know how you got in so deep. And you're especially in a mode like that now. And so it's very important at this phase over the next 5 or 6 weeks to make sure that you really get to know people before you get too involved with them. And if you are involved with them, to be as objective as you can be, neither be, you know, benefic nor malefic, just be bring a little bit of detachment. Now, it may be difficult to do that, but when you're called upon to do it, I trust that you will be able to do it, that you'll be able to get that bit of perspective when you need it. So one of the things that's showing up is a tendency for your personal, most intimate relationships to have some resonance with what happened to you when you were much younger. The seventh house in your chart is the house of partnerships, and the other two houses that are directly involved in this are the fourth and the tenth. Those are houses that meet the axis of you and your relationships on a vertical angle. And when you bring the vertical angle in, you bring in authority relationships, and when there's authority relationships, that inherently brings up the question of mother and father and the relationship with early caregivers, teachers, but particularly family of origin stuff. And I'll give you an example of how that works. You look right across the wheel at Gemini, and so presumably Mercury is going to represent a relational partner of some kind, someone with whom you are equal. But Mercury also rules your 10th house, Virgo. And so it is possible for people with whom you are in a relationship to manifest in a way that there is some form of authority over you, which you probably think, this is really strange. How on earth does this happen? But it's sort of arranged that way. And the really good part about the way this Mercury retrograde is arranged, that it is quite possible that this setup becomes blatantly obvious and you realize what it is that you need to change, what it is that you have really had quite enough of, and you may get to this point where you realize you just need to shift the way that you deal with people. You need to shift the position that you let others put you in, that you put others in, and the truth is that only you can do this. I was going to say only you can prevent forest fires. It's kind of a family joke, because the question is, how do you actually prevent forest fires, except for not starting a forest fire? And you might think, how can I prevent these situations? But I promise you that you, if you are looking, and if you are listening to what is said, and if you make the connections, and if you see the ways in which authority trips manifest, and in particular, the way in which authority trips manifest in which you become the subject of the authority, not the person in authority, and study that, you will see what you need to see to make the change that you need to make. Now, part of what's going on in your chart is you're going through a long and very deep, let's say, review phase or magnified effect phase of understanding what the early childhood emotional influences on you were. And if you haven't brought that to the light yet, if you haven't consciously come into that, brought that into therapy process, writing process, spiritual process, some way into your artwork, into something to understand the position that you were in when you were very little, I would suggest that you do it now and you see the ways in which your relationships are a kind of a dramatization of that. There's an old bit of understanding about group therapy, which is that in a therapy group, the group will manifest in the constellation of everyone's family of origin. So people will play many different roles for many different people. The same person might play a brother to one person in the group, and the father to another person in the group, a grandfather to another person. But when you study the relationship of each person in the group, you'll see a kind of a holographic model of the family of origin relationships. And it looks a bit like this is what's happening for you, where the way that people are manifesting in your life is some form of an exposition of the way in which you were shaped and kind of figured into the constellation of people in your life as a child in your family of origin. And the thing about having Saturn in your sign and other factors, including the factors in Pisces, is suggesting that you want to clear the decks and that you have the strength to hold yourself true to your identity. And something about holding yourself true to your ideal relationship model that is very likely to go beyond what you experienced in your family of origin, and that you have the integrity and the strength to establish new patterns. Saturn in your sign for the next 2.5 years is going to be very helpful at setting up the conditions where you can establish completely new patterns of who you are. And that is a rare and beautiful thing to have Saturn in your sign. It only happens for a couple of years every 3 decades, and you have that happening currently. There'll be a little break for 3 months into the midsummer, and then Saturn will be back till the end of 2017. So it's quite a while for Saturn to be in one sign. And so looked at one way, what you're seeing now, what you experience now, what you learn, witness, unravel now, however complex it might be, however well or poorly you handle it, is a reminder of what you can change. It is a reminder of, in some ways, the old way that things are, and the way in which your position in life can be compromised, and the way that you can bounce back from that position of compromise. So it's something that's very important to be able to do. When I was in therapy earlier, many years ago, with Joe Truso, who still is my most valued and vital teacher, he suggested that I do something with every woman in my life, whoever that might be, which is look at her and say silently to myself, "This woman is not my mother." And I would suggest that you do that with every person who comes into your life, whether you say, "This woman is not my mother," or "This man is not my father," as you feel appropriate, and get into awareness, into the internal script that you are kind of experiencing as you move through life, a reminder that these people are not ghost figures, dream figures from the past, but rather that they are new people in your life to whom you can assign the new role that you want them to have. You get to decide, to a real extent, A, who these people are to you, what role they're going to play in your life, and whether you even have them in your life, a choice that's not so easily made with parents, because typically we're stuck with parents. The other thing you can do that's helpful is to be aware of whether what you are saying is honest. You can be aware of whether other people are saying to you is honest, and you can monitor your willingness or unwillingness to accept untrue things that people say. And what I suggest, obviously, is that you set a standard in your life for only accepting things that you deem to be true, that you deem to be honest and authentic, but that also you maintain a little bit of distance on the judgment of whether things are true until you have a few weeks' distance on whatever circumstances are developing in your life, because you may not know. And there is a lot of room in the charts for false certainty about what other people say, thinking you know something when you don't, false uncertainty. You actually do know what they're saying, but you don't accept it as being true, or you kind of overlook it in some way, and then a whole bunch of gray area between those two other gray areas, basically. So what is likely to happen is that the truth or the deeper, let's say, levels of understanding, if you prefer, will reveal themselves in layers. They will there will be a series of revelations. There may be something that happens, a conversation, a discussion, a disagreement of some kind, a statement that's made, and give that a few days, and you will figure out what its actual relevance is. And if you take everything, let's say, take it at face value, and then assess its actual value on a deeper level. Rather than make any final determinations now, give things time to work out. And it would help if you, for one thing, took things a little bit less seriously, that you proceeded with a bit of attachment that is possible to have with Saturn, the ruler of Aquarius, which gives a little bit of the possibility for arm's length. And then also doing your part to contribute to any turbulence less. You may find yourself in those situations where it's like you're trying to smooth out the surface of water with a canoe paddle, which of course won't work. You'll only churn the water up. So know when you need to do that perfectly Sagittarius thing and get some space for yourself. It may be that someone or others want you to be more involved, and the thing that you know that you need to do is to take some space so you can sort things out. And I suggest you do that whether anyone likes it or not, that if you need space on any situation, if you need space to reflect, to think, to write about what's going on, to take a trip somewhere, to do anything that you need to do to get perspective, get that perspective, because it will be the most valuable thing to do, and it will save time and energy. Speaking of energy, that was the dogs responding to a sound. They have a lot of energy when they do that. That perspective and distance will save you time and energy, and ultimately keep things simpler. You are entitled to as much time as you need to think things over as you want, and I would just give you all the encouragement in the world to take that time, to take that space for yourself. Alrighty. So if you're Sag Sun, look up your rising sign at astro.com. Always have your rising sign. Know what it is. Get your chart. If you're into astrology, you like astrology, you should have your accurate natal chart. Do some research. If you don't know your birth time, try to find it out and check out your rising sign. I do also recommend for you, especially listening to the Gemini recording, so that you can get some extra insight into what also may be going on and or coming in, filtering in through your relationship sign, which is Gemini. All right. Pleasure as ever doing this work. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being part of Planet Waves. And I'll see you over at a different sign or in a different moment. Bye for now.